Welcome to Calvary Church, where we are dedicated to loving God and loving people. If you want to know more about us, please check us out online at calvary.ca. Now let's check out this week's message from our lead pastor, Stephen McDonald.
Well, happy Super Bowl Sunday, everyone. Make sure you show some love to the Seahawks this afternoon. Let's believe that they will prevail. You know, every year on Super Bowl Sunday, usually a couple of days before, I get a text message from the Lazios. Rob is a former Grey Cup pro baller with the CFL, but they send me a text with a little meme that says, you should be as excited about church as you are about the Super Bowl. So when your pastor makes a good point on Sunday, pour Gatorade over his head. Let me tell you, a simple amen would suffice today. So I'm happy with that. It's less of a mess. All right, welcome back to episode 2 of our new piece of work, deep dive study series of Ephesians. We are all a work in progress. And I think some days, I don't know about you, but some days that's more evident than it is on others. But Paul encourages us in this letter that you and I were created in Christ Jesus, that we are his masterpiece in the making. Ephesians is all about our identity in Christ and how that identity shapes the way that we live. And one of the central themes of Ephesians talks about something that we touched on last week in this introductory chapter of the book. And it's the idea that you and I are in Christ. This term is used over and over and over again in Paul's letter. And I think if there's one repeated phrase that really marks the book of Ephesians, it's those two words, in Christ. See, because if we're not in Christ, where are we? Well, we're usually in ourselves. And if we're abiding in our own thinking, our own thoughts, instead of the mind of Christ, then it usually leads us to things like fear and paranoia, leads to confusion, leads to anger. Suddenly that old self that was in the rearview mirror suddenly rears its ugly head. And so we need to keep the old man down and believe that as the new creation that Christ Jesus created is continually getting stronger. And I think that was evident to me a couple of weeks ago. Susan had asked me after Christmas, we had some things that we ordered for the church during our Christmas season that needed to be returned, that we were not in need of. And so there was a number of these that were packed up and ready to roll. And she said, would you mind on your way home today dropping these off at the post office or the UPS, wherever they need to go? So I stopped at the post office on the way home. I had half a dozen of them, all packed up, ready to go, labels on them. And my idea, my hope, was that I was going to be in and out of there because I had something that I had to do after that, another appointment. And so I didn't want it to be long. So I queued up. I was the only one at the counter. I put all the stuff down, and she starts going through, you know, scanning them into the computer. Now, the good news was that half of them were like, beepity-boop, it was done. But the other half, she seemed to kind of look a little perplexed. She said, okay, these ones are no problem, but these ones were going to have a few more steps involved. And I'm like, oh, man, I don't like already where this is headed. And so now I look behind me, and there's a couple people queuing up behind me. And so I sense their impatience. I sense mine as I just want to get out the door. I thought I was just going to drop them off and go. And it seemed that as time went on, it was getting more and more complicated. She's like, okay, this process I can do. These two you're going to have to take to UPS. This process here is going to require you download an app from a different company, sign up for it, get a profile set up, and enter in your credit card, and you need to pay for customs on that app. And I'm like, well, you know, I've never had to do that before. Can't you do that on your computer? No, this is something that's new, and you know, a lot of people are very frustrated with this process. And I'm like, yeah, really? She said, but you got to go through the steps yourself. And I'm like, okay. So I kind of go off to the side, and people start to come up to the counter while I'm doing that. I go through this process, click here, do this, accept this, put your email here, put your credit card here, and I'm just, I can feel it bubbling up within me that I may have gone in Christ, but I was quickly stepping outside of him, getting more and more into my own head. And so finally I got to the end of the process and I said, okay, I think I'm done. I clicked okay. And it said, this process failed. Please start over. I'm like, oh, I can't believe this. She said, what's wrong? I said, I don't know. I did everything that you asked me to do. And it's saying that the process failed. I have no idea. Is there anything you can do? She says, oh, let me just do that on my computer. What? You could have did this before. Now you're going to just do it on your computer? Meanwhile, there's a new lineup behind me, a new group of people that are getting more and more frustrated to kind of morph with my frustration, verging on anger, and bing, 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 she does something on her computer, and it's done. Now, I sure wish that she would have jumped in sooner in that process because it kind of pushed me to the edge of myself. Now I was outside of being in Christ and very much in my own head, and I kind of left just like trying to take a deep breath. You see, when we get stuck in our own head, when we get stuck in our own thinking, our progress and our growth as Christ followers kind of grinds to a halt. We hit a roadblock. There's a very influential Chinese theologian of the 20th century named Watchman Nee. He wrote a great little commentary on the book of Ephesians, not long. I think it's called Sit, Stand, Walk. But it's worth checking out. But he said this, and I thought it was very pointed, especially for my understanding of what we're talking about. He said, outside of Christ, I am a sinner. But in Christ, I am saved. Outside of Christ, I am empty. In Christ, I am full. Outside of Christ, I am weak. In Christ, I am strong. I think that's powerful because outside of Christ, I'm losing my mind trying to return Amazon packages in this moment. But in Christ, I'm a new creation. And sometimes I have to remind myself of that in those moments where I'm being pulled out of being in him. And sometimes we see that the new creation is still very much a work in progress. We definitely have not arrived. We're going to need a little bit more time reflecting more of the nature of Christ. And we know that that's a daily situation. Now, this week, as we move into chapter 2 of Ephesians, we find our foundational scripture for our Piece of Work series, which we introduced last week. Once again, it's Ephesians 2, chapter 2, verse 10. It says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And like the first chapter, chapter 2 is filled with even more references to this truth, that we were created by Christ Jesus. We were created in him. But clearly, Paul is not done highlighting the importance of this idea that he made clear in this letter, this circular letter that would have been carried around to various churches throughout Asia Minor and very actively copied in Ephesus. Many people, probably more than any of the other churches, copied this letter, read this letter, spent time with this letter, which is why later in time it became associated with this group of people. So let's pick up where we left off last week just to see again how Paul is trying to drive home this truth that we are in him, that we are in Christ. Ephesians 2, verse 5. It says, God made us alive with Christ. Ephesians 2, 6. And God raised us up with Christ. There it is again. And seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. Ephesians 2, 7, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. Ephesians 2:10, created in Christ Jesus. Ephesians 2:13, here it is again, in Christ Jesus. Ephesians 2:21, in him, and then it also says, in the Lord. It's a two in one verse. Ephesians 2:22, and in him. Over and over. There's a reason. Anytime the author gets into repeating this kind of truth with this much frequency, he's trying to say, hey, I need your attention. I need you to truly understand this and to not just have it in your head, but in your heart so that you can walk it out. Let's move into chapter 3, Ephesians 3, verse 6. This mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs. Now, there's that offspring connection that I mentioned last week that we're coming back to. Heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promise in Christ Jesus. Ephesians 3, 10 through 11. His intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to his purpose that he accomplished, where? In Christ Jesus, our Lord. Ephesians 3:12, in him and through him. Ephesians 3:21, in Christ Jesus. So if there's one thing that is painfully obvious, is that Paul wants us to understand that we are in him, or in him. Dr. Manny Arango is a great young pastor and theologian, and one of the teachers of a biblical studies course I took a while back. He said this, he said, we find our existence, our identity, our meaning, our inheritance, and every spiritual blessing in Christ. So we're in Christ the same way that we were born in Adam. We're part of that same lineage, that same family tree. Now let me kind of paint a different picture, but to drive the point home so that you understand. If my great-grandfather passed away before he had an opportunity to have children, would I be here speaking to you today? Well, it's not a trick question, because the answer is no. Because in a technical sense, I was in him. So was my grandfather. So was my father. I'm part of his offspring. I'm one of his descendants. Remember last week at the end of the message, I mentioned another scripture where Paul referred to offspring when he said in Acts 17:8, we, all of us in Christ, we are his offspring. So we are in him. Now, understanding scripture and understanding today sometimes are different things. What is relevant today when it comes to the things and the ideas that scripture points to, it's incredible how relevant it can be. But there's a greater understanding when we grasp that the world looked different then. And today we live in a Western culture that is very focused on hyper-individualism, right? But the Eastern tradition of the Bible, right? The Bible is a Jewish book. An Eastern understanding of life is not as hyper-individualized as us today. There's more of a focus then on the group than the individual. There's an understanding that the same way Adam sinned, that because you and I were in Adam when he sinned, that then we have that same sin virus in our lives. And that sin virus needs an answer. In order to clear that obstacle, we need Jesus. Because of what he did on the cross, we have a barrier removed when we understand forgiveness, when we walk as the new creation. And Paul had this understanding when he said that you've actually been made new. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone, the new is here. You know, these keys in my pocket that I have right here, give me access to every single room in this building. And if I lose these keys, which has happened on occasion, then I get locked out of my office, get locked out of the dream. I can't get in anywhere. That's why I got a tracker on these keys, so that if they do go missing, I can quickly find them, right? But the moment I put these keys back into my pocket, by default, if I go somewhere, then these keys go with me, right? So if I jump into my car and drive around, then my keys get to go for a ride because they're in my pocket. And so they come with me. If I go to lunch with a friend from church, well, then these keys get to go to lunch with us at the same time because they go where I go. And so what Paul wants us to understand is that as believers, we are in Christ. I've been chosen in Christ. I am blessed in Christ. Everything that happens in my life as a believer happens as a result of me being in him. Does that make sense? Right? And that picture gives us a more clear understanding of what that might look like. Now, one of the things that may happen, and it has over the years, especially with a book like Ephesians, a book that uses words like predestined or chosen or called or elected. One of the things that can happen with these kind of terms is that sometimes people get the notion that maybe that means that I am the chosen one, that I'm the one, that this is speaking just to me, that it's all about me. You know, the biblical understanding of election, of being chosen, it was never meant necessarily to be an individualized term. It was more meant to talk or address a group. It's more of a group-oriented term. So Israel was the elect people of God. And his church, we're also the chosen people of God. And so when I choose in my life to become a part of this covenant family, this new humanity, this new creation, because God has predestined and chosen Jesus, he also chooses me because I am in him. I'm not chosen because I'm uniquely special. I'm the only one that can accomplish what God has put before us. But because I have hidden my life, right? I have hidden it in him. And when I do, I benefit from that relationship. As God the Father sees Jesus, he sees my forgiveness in him, in what he's done on Calvary's cross. That's why Paul goes on and on about it. That's why he keeps talking, even in the first couple of chapters, then into chapter 3, keeps talking about being in Christ. He wants us to truly understand this. Now, one of the other things that Paul emphasizes repeatedly is that salvation brings an inheritance. We have been blessed as his offspring with an inheritance. To understand one is really to understand the other. How many of you have ever heard somebody say, I inherited that from my mother's side of the family? Or I inherited that from my father. Usually when somebody says that, it's referring to something negative, right? Like worry. Oh, I get worry from my mom's side of the family. Or drama. Oh, I get that from my father's side of the family. Or maybe it's being in debt all the time or being critical. Sometimes we're quick to say, I inherited that from this place or that place. And then there's other people that spin that in the positive too. And they'll say, oh, I'm forever an optimist. You know, my mom was like that. Or I've always had a great sense of humor. My dad was a joker, so I'm a joker too. Like, we understand that the people in our lives, good or bad, have had an influence by the modeling that was before us. I've said before that you can accomplish more when you understand that you teach more in your unguarded moments than you do in all your structured times of teaching. So you can say to somebody, do this. But then if you don't, your life, the model that you are, speaks volumes more than what you're trying to communicate. And I have friends who grew up wealthy. So they have that kind of lifestyle. They have different expectations. Some of them are hard workers too. And so they understand and learn how to maintain it. Others don't. Others haven't earned anything other than being a part of that family. But they still benefit from that inheritance. And the idea that Paul wants us to understand is that when Jesus went to the cross, there's a finished work at Calvary that only Jesus could have accomplished for us. Right? That's why when you say yes to Jesus, the Christian life immediately starts from this place of victory and rest. So what he paid for, we inherit. And I think in Scripture, when you look at it, there's this interesting comparison to Adam's beginning and our beginning as new believers when we say yes to following him. The same environment that Adam was created in is actually similar to the environment that the New Testament believer starts out in. And he's kind of created in that same moment. When you look at creation, and we talked about this a couple of weeks ago when we talked about Sabbath, but what was God's last day of creation was actually Adam's first day of life. And that first day that he experienced was filled with rest. You see, God worked for six, rested on the seventh, and in that moment, he wanted to spend time with Adam. See, it's all about intimacy and relationship with God, with being in him. That was modeled from the very beginning. It doesn't mean that mankind has always learned to stay in him, because whether it's eating from a tree that they shouldn't or returning like hundreds of Amazon packages and losing our patience, we're all being pulled out of that place of being in him, something that we need to continually be mindful of and with his help and with his strength to maintain within us. So God rested after creation to do what? To spend time with Adam in this new relationship. And we can compare in the same way that when God finished creation, Adam began in victory and rest. And so it is with us when Jesus finished his work on the cross. When Jesus, after he died and gave up his life, and when he said, "It is finished," and he laid down his life for the forgiveness of our sin, well, we too could now begin our new life in Christ from a place of victory and a place of rest. In a victory that we didn't earn, he earned for us. It's such a powerful thing to consider. So our inheritance is something that we walk into as his offspring. Now listen, when you choose to be in Christ, you are choosing to live your existence, even today, from a place of victory, resting in the finished work of Calvary. We don't strive or work or fight or even worship for victory. We work from a place of victory. We work from a place of his victory. We fight from victory. We worship from victory, from a place of rest in him. Or at least we should. That's what he's called us to. Now, there's an inheritance that Paul wants us to know that we have access to, that someone before us, our big brother in the faith, Jesus, he did the work. Jesus did all the heavy lifting. And through it, he guaranteed to all of us an inheritance that I get to receive, you get to receive the benefits of something that we didn't earn on our own. You see, the Christian life produces good works, but it doesn't start there. It doesn't start, with good works. We can't earn his love and forgiveness, and yet people are still trying to do it. Oh, if I go to church, I'm a nice person, if I don't swear, if I live a good life, then that will earn me a place. But the Christian life starts in Christ, from a position of rest, from a position that I have freely received this gift from God. And it's an inheritance, not a right that because of my good standing with God, I've earned a place on the bus. No, it's all about Him, from that position of what we've received through Him. So we have received grace from God even today, not to live sloppy, but to live holy. You see, being in Christ is understanding that He is holy and that we're called to live a life of holiness. And I think when we consider that, it should stir within us gratitude, not to live a reckless life, but to live a life that we appreciate what He's done for us. Not to just live fast and loose because we know, I know, at the end of it all, He'll forgive me, right? No. We don't treat that inheritance like a prodigal. We treat it with value, the same value that it carries through the fact and the understanding that we did nothing to deserve it. And yet He loved us so much that He did it for us. So, when we talk about benefits, what do we have in Christ? What did we learn? What has Paul told us? In the first chapter alone, he outlines seven things that we are in Christ. So in Christ, I am, the first one, blessed. You're blessed. Blessed in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing. That's Ephesians 1, verse 3. In Christ, I am holy and blameless. Ephesians 1, 4. In Christ, I am adopted as a son. I'm brought into His family. Ephesians 1, 5. In Christ, I am redeemed. Ephesians 1, 7. In Christ, I am forgiven. Also in Ephesians 1, verse 7. In Christ, I am marked with a seal. Talking about the promised Holy Spirit. Ephesians 1, 13. In Christ, I am an heir to an inheritance, which we just talked about in detail. Ephesians 1, verse 14. So powerful. So these keys that I talked about earlier, right? These keys benefit from being chauffeured around in my car just because they're in my pocket. The best thing that you can do in this life is to put your life in His hands, to put your faith in Christ. Our inheritance in Christ includes very powerfully the authority to use the name of Jesus. Ephesians 1:21 says His name, talking about His name, is far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the age to come. So when we're in Christ, we can use His name with authority. When Jesus sent the disciples out, they marveled at the fact that when they cast out demons in His name, that the demons listened. You see, He was teaching them about authority. He was teaching them about the gravity and the power that came with who He was, with His name. And for Christians today, I think sometimes we lose, we lose the weight and the significance of that term, in Jesus' name. Sometimes we just treat it like a tagline that we throw on at the end of our prayer, like it's some kind of bibbidi-bobbidi-boo incantation, in Jesus' name. You know, like, bless His food, in Jesus' name. But there's so much more power to it. It's really like the official signature on a legal document that authorizes you to act on whatever the directive says, like an inheritance. It's not official until that signature has been verified and that directive gets walked out because of the one who stands behind it. So you and I, today, we can say to the enemy that it was Christ who paid for my forgiveness. It was Christ who paid for my healing. So I'm not asking if I can be forgiven or healed. I'm declaring my forgiveness and my healing in Jesus' name. Our inheritance in Christ also includes a new identity. Ephesians 1:6, to the praise of the glory of His grace by which he made us accepted into the beloved. We are accepted. People spend an entire lifetime trying to fit in, trying to find an individual or a group of people where they can be accepted. I'm telling you right now, God loves you so much that you are accepted. You're a part of the family. Our inheritance in Christ also includes this place and part of a new humanity. Ephesians 4:24 says, to put on the new self. Like we're a new creation, created to be like God in true righteousness and holy. You remember last week we talked about this pursuit. What we do as a church or as believers is not just about behavior modification. This is about transformation. This is spiritual renewal. All things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. When you say yes to following him, then he comes and dwells within you. You dwell in him. Everything changes. So at the end of the day, Paul opens up this letter to all of these churches and to the people in the church in Ephesus and to you and I. And he wants us all to be so impressed and inspired by everything that Jesus has done on our behalf. He wants us to understand and accept this new identity so that you and I can live from this place of victory, the one that he's paid for, and rest in what he's done. Amen. Such a powerful, powerful truth. And Paul doesn't want the church in his day to miss it, and he certainly doesn't want you to miss it either. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today for your spirit at work in our lives. Today, we determine in our lives by the help of your spirit to remain in you. Not to get in our heads so much that we lose sight of what you've called us to do. Not to be dragged down a path of confusion or doubt or anger. But God, to be found in a place where we have the mind of Christ. And we are thankful for that great inheritance that comes with salvation. Today, Lord Jesus, we are in you. We're thankful for that inheritance and the blessing that you've given us. Help us, Lord, to be good stewards of the gospel, of your love, and to take it to a world that is in desperate need of it. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. God's very best, Calvary. Have an amazing week, and we look forward to being with you again next week.